Good afternoon. Certainly nice to see everyone today. Nice to be here on this very beautiful Sabbath day. I don't typically start out giving my title, but I'll do that today. The title for today's message is A Story of Three Bibles. So I'd like to start off talking about one Bible. Years ago, in my former occupation, we had been doing some work. We had crews out in different places. We had a crew at a lawyer's office, and they were working there on their building. As they were working there on their building, the people at the lawyer's office, the staff knew we had a dumpster, and so they were working on an estate. They had taken all of this stuff, papers, and they were going through it to see maybe what was of any value. And as they went through to look to see if there was any value, they threw everything in the corner of the room they were working on, and there was a big pile there. I wasn't there at the time, but my crew told me. And they said as they loaded this up, this garbage up, they said that the staff there told them there was an old Bible there. And so they came to me and said, well, maybe you would have an interest in this old Bible. So this old Bible was in the garbage. They brought it to me. I've brought it here today for you to look at as a prop. This is the old Bible. It's thrown out in the garbage. Now, in this Bible, there are recorded dates of births, deaths, marriages. At one time, this old Bible was very important in someone's life. I looked through the pages of it, the recordings, and the earliest dates I could find was 1800, and a lot of the recordings in it are through the 1800s. At one time, that was a very important and prized possession of some family somewhere, and now thrown out in the garbage, just thrown out to be thrown away. At one time would have been one of their most prized possessions. So that brings us to the question, as we look and think about this old Bible just thrown out, is God's word true? Is the Bible true? Can we count on it? Can we believe that book? We look at the world around us today. We look at society, and we look at the morals and the values of society as the world degenerates around us. We see war. We see unhappiness. We see anger. Is the Bible relevant in our lives? Is it inspired? How do we know that we have the actual Bible? How did this Bible come about? And why the Bible? Is it infallible? Is it God's word? Does he speak to us? These are things that we as students must answer. We must know what we believe and why. Well, today we're going to examine this book, the Bible, see if it's God's word, see how relevant it is to us, a book written thousands of years ago. So today we're going to look at the Bible there, and we think about it. There are many not biblical, but books out there that people consider holy. The Mormons have their books. Islam has its books. Scientology and others, they have their books. When we think about the Bible, it is the bestseller of all time. There's been more than 100 million distributed every single year. And billions have been printed since the beginning of the printing press. Millions regard this book as inspired. And even at one time, it was used as a textbook to teach children in schools. It was used to teach values. It was used to teach reading. So with all the copies of the Bible out there, it's amazing that there is a dismal awareness of what the Bible actually teaches. More and more people are losing faith in the Bible. More and more people are throwing their Bibles in the garbage. More and more churches are going empty. Our nation turns its back on the Bible. It would be good to look at what some of the leaders throughout history have said about the Bible. George Washington stated, I quote, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." Abraham Lincoln stated, "I believe the Bible is the best book God has ever given to man." All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book, he stated. Theodore Roosevelt stated, a thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. Ronald Reagan stated, within the covers of that single book are all the answers to all the problems that face us today if we would only read and believe. Queen Victoria stated, that book, the Bible, accounts for the supremacy of England. We go back to the Fundamentals of Belief booklet, the second one titled The Word of God. I'd like to quote. It states from the booklet, we believe that Scripture, both the Old and New Testament, is God's revelation and his complete expressed will to humanity. Scripture, it states, is inspired in thought and word, infallible in the original writings, is the supreme and final authority in faith and in life, and is the foundation of all truth. So how important is the Bible to us? How important is it to our lives? What's the value of the words that are there in the Bible? Through difficult times, many turn to the Bible when they find difficulties. But do they turn to the Bible on a daily basis? We know prisoners of war have said that the Bible, when they had the Bible, was sometimes the only thing that kept them going at times. The Bible reveals the acts of God, reveals God's character. The Bible reveals God's plan, his thoughts. The Bible reveals courage that he gives us as we go through difficult trials and difficult times. The Bible reveals his mercy. It reveals his faithfulness. It reveals his love for us. It is our instructions on how to live a happy life and to have true happiness. We think of the prayer of Jesus Christ as he looked ahead to his crucifixion in John 17. Let's turn over there. John chapter 17. John 17 and verse 17. We reflect on that, especially this time of year. We read these passages during Passover. John 17 and verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. God speaks to us through his word, and his word is truth. Verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. They also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus set the example for us by following the scriptures, quoting the scriptures, following them as the ultimate authority, the Bible. Stated in Matthew 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we might ask the question, where did the Bible come from? How did we get it? What books should be in the Bible? And why are some books in the Bible and others are not? We often refer to the books in the Bible as the canon. The word canon comes from a Greek word spelled K-A-N-O-N and from a Hebrew word spelled G-A-N-E-H, and it means a reed. And we get our English word cane from it. Since a reed or cane was used as a measuring device, would take a reed or a cane and put marks on it as a measuring device, the word canon became a word to mean standard or rule. And when we describe it or use it to describe something, it's usually described as a list. So it's a list of the books that went into the Bible that we consider Holy Scripture. The canon of the Bible is the books that we regard as holy and having divine authority. The word canon refers to the list of books that are divinely inspired and included in our Bibles, the Word of God. An early first century Jewish writer, Josephus, many of you have heard that name, writes about the books of canon, where he states, I quote, we have not 10,000 books among us, disagreeing with and contradicting each other, but only 22 books which contain the records of all time and justly believed to be divine. Now, when he says 22 books, that matches up to our 39 books of the Old Testament, because at that time, the first century, the books were written in scrolls. Some of the scrolls were combined with other books, such as 1st and 2nd Chronicles. They would have been on one scroll. Ezra and Nehemiah would have been on one scroll. So he's referring to the books or the scrolls and would have been 22. And they certainly match up to the 39 that we have now. 2 Timothy 3:15 tells us all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So when we look through the New Testament, we see Jesus and his followers using the canon of the Old Testament. That was what they had at that time. Not everyone has a copy like we do. At that time, the printing press wasn't here, so everything would have been copied by hand by scribes. So we see that Bibles were not as readily available as we have. So we see people going to the synagogues and reading the Bible, and not only that, but they would memorize the verses. So they would take that memory home with them, and they would be able to memorize. Some would memorize all of the Bible. What scriptures were they using? Well, the same as we have today. Jesus Christ confirmed the use of the Bible as scripture. We see Jesus Christ teaching from the words of the Bible. We see the Old Testament books that Jesus had. The New Testament books weren't written yet, but he used the Old Testament books. We see him quoting from them often, as well as the apostles. We mentioned the canon. When we look at the canon of the Old Testament, we look at all of these old manuscripts over the years. We don't have any of the original writings, so we see these copies that were made year after year. And we mentioned in the fundamental beliefs that the original writings of the Bible are infallible. Certainly, there are words or mistakes over the years in translations, in the copying, but it's amazing how much of it is intact. And you can go back and research and find those words that maybe were translated in a wrong way or with a wrong meaning, one translation to another, but the original writings are clearly infallible. A scribe copying thousands of words could and did make unintentional errors and also intentional errors over the years. And this would be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So we look at early manuscripts and we compare manuscripts, and that could help us sort out the differences of the scribes, the mistakes, and few, surprisingly few, that they are. When we look at the New Testament, clearly it was being read shortly after the time of the apostles. We see history books referring to these books, these letters, and the New Testament books shortly after the time of the apostles. We see the New Testament letters and the book being read in the church assemblies not long after they were written. Some say the Bible owes its authority, though, to one particular church. And that just isn't true. The Bible doesn't get its authority from any church. The authority of the Bible comes directly from God himself. When we look at Bible translations over the years, the history of Bible translations, and certainly that's a message in itself, but we see translations, new translations, old translations, as the scribes translate from one language to another. We see words changed, meanings added slightly different because words maybe from one language, translating it to another language, there was no exact match. So we as students of the Bible, we go back and we research those out, and we can find those mistakes that were made, and certainly we talk about them from time to time. We see the printing press invented in 1439. We see famous translators such as William Tyndale translating the Bible to English so the common man can understand. He lost his life, was burned at the stake because of his desire to translate the Bible into English. We see also Martin Luther translating the Bible into German. We see these early translators translating the Bible. Are any of them perfect? Any translation out there, none of them are perfect. And so often we take for granted our Bible. There's no one translation infallible. But we go back to the original writings. The original writings of the Bible are infallible. So let's move on here and take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Maccabees, if you would. Turn to 1 Maccabees. Have you found that in your Bible? Well, some Bibles have the book of 1 Maccabees, as well as about 15 other added books or parts of added books. We would call that the Apocrypha. The word Apocrypha is a Greek word that means hidden. And we see that some Bibles, some translations added these books. So what are they? Some are historical, some are legendary, some are prophetic. Some have value as historical works, but not inspired Word of God. They're not inspired Word of God. Mostly we find them in the Old Testament. Why do we reject these books? From the book How We Got the Bible, I quote, written by Neil Lightfoot, I quote, "Early writers clearly limited the canon of the Bible to what we now know of it. The Jews of Christ's time clearly did not accept the additional books. There is no evidence that any Jewish community accepted them." We see that the scriptures, God gave the Jews the authority to preserve those scriptures for us. We see that these additional books were never accepted by Jesus or the New Testament, never. We see that Jesus Christ and the apostles used the same books of the Bible that we have. The apostles of the Old Testament events never quote from the Apocrypha books. The New Testament writers, they quote practically from nearly all of the books. As a matter of fact, they quote from all of the books of the Old Testament except five. These books, these early apocryphal books, were never accepted by the early writers of the New Testament or the apostles. About 400 AD, the scholar Jerome wrote and strongly maintained that these books were apocryphal, meaning hidden or added, and were not to be included in the canon of Scripture. These books are obviously legendary, he stated, and contain errors. Some can even contradict themselves. So Christ and his apostles did not consider the apocryphal books inspired, and neither should we. So that brings up a thought that fascinates me often, and a phrase, we often hear this word, Dead Sea Scrolls. And what does that mean when we think about the Bible? The Dead Sea Scrolls. In March of 1947, now remember, the nation of Israel was formed in 1948. There was a young Arab boy who was looking for some lost goats, came across a little small cave near the Dead Sea. And as young boys do with his curiosity, he went into this cave and found some old jars containing some old manuscripts, leather scrolls. Unfortunately, some of them he took back to his parents and they used to start a fire with. But as archaeologists quickly discovered what was preserved, and they were hidden in this cave because the Jewish group, was afraid they might be destroyed by incoming armies, so they preserved them in this cave. It was found to have all of these writings from almost every portion of every book in the Old Testament. The scrolls were dated and written back as far back as Jesus, past even before he walked on the earth. They were written, and here's the important thing, over 1,000 years earlier than any other manuscript that we had. The oldest manuscripts we had available, this discovery, were dated back even 1,000 years before that. They would have been dated about 100 years before Christ, discovered in 1947. So what do they tell us? They tell us that the Hebrew language has changed very little. And the wording on the scrolls, for the most part, almost perfectly matches what we have in our Bibles today. The Hebrew words that we read, the translations that we have, are essentially the same. And how profound that is. The Dead Sea Scrolls prove the validity of the Bible. Most of the words, nearly every one, are exactly the same words that Christ had and are the same words that we have. So the Dead Sea Scrolls confirm the validity of the Bible. And so there's much evidence that exists as to which books of the Bible were and were not to be included. Some say the Bible is just fables, that it's not inspired. Some say that, well, archaeology disproves the Bible simply because, well, the Bible writes and discloses about nations, heroes, biblical personalities. They say that those are all missed because there's no evidence. Kingdoms, countries, kings, empires were doubted and denied. Example after example, though, every day it seems like there's a new discovery that archaeology proves these ancient empires, proves these ancient countries, proves the writings of the Bible simply was just not discovered yet. One example is we read in the Bible of King Cyrus of Persia. And it was denied that he even existed. There's no proof of King Cyrus. The Bible prophesied King Cyrus by name over 100 years before he was born. And he was king of Persia. And now we see in the British Museum discovered the cylinder of King Cyrus with all of this history dated back over 500 years before Christ. This history of King Cyrus, it's all there in writing. And clearly, archaeology confirms the biblical accounts. Scoffers disputed, well, there was never ever an Assyrian empire because we don't ever see any evidence of it. We see Assyria first appearing as an empire in the second millennium before Christ. We see Assyria becoming an aggressive and a powerful nation, an empire, about 1,000 years B.C. About 40 years after the reign of King Solomon, we see the two nations. Israel was split into two nations. We see Assyria led by evil rulers conquering more and more nations in the area. We see the nation of Israel fall to it. And we see evidence. We see debris excavated from Nineveh. As dramatic proof now that the nation of Assyria did exist. Not only did it exist, but it is evidence that it conquered Israel. And we see writings and archaeological discoveries stating that the king of Assyria bragging that he was going to destroy Judah. We see the biblical accounts. We see the prayer in Isaiah 37 asking for protection. We see 2 Kings 19. We see the Lord fighting the battles for Jerusalem and Judah. Isaiah chapter 10, woe to Assyria. We see all of these discoveries supporting the biblical account that archaeologists said didn't exist. Archaeological discoveries clear up Bible difficulties on a regular basis. We see the testimony of history. One after another, the Bible truths are confirmed over time, almost on a daily basis, as we see these discoveries happening. History proves the Bible. When we look at science, some scientists will say the Bible is a myth, but almost daily we see that science also proves the Bible. Scientific theories assumed to be fact routinely crumble in finding of new facts as they discover the creation that God did through us, through the world, through the planets. Mankind, through science, is just now learning just the smallest, tiniest aspects of the creation. Psalms 19:1 tells us, the heavens declare the glory of God. So we can track the books of the Bible through the ages, the New Testament, the Old Testament. We can see that God inspired men to write down his words. But if we think about it, the story of the Bible and how we got the Bible starts and ends with God, our Creator. How we got the Bible leads us to God's feet. Mark 13, verse 31 states, my words will not pass away. God's words are divine. His words will last forever. God created this vast world for a reason, for us. Once again, from the book titled How We Got the Bible, I quote, it was Paul's belief that the Old Testament writings, the Bible that Paul and the apostles had come from God, were literally God-breathed. Our Bible is for us. Our Bible is for us. Everything that God has made is wonderful. The mind is a wonderful thing. If we just stop and think about how our bodies work, how our minds work, how our bodies work together, all of the different systems and cells and nerves, mankind only scratches the surface in understanding the intricate workings of our body. Well, today the body or the Bible is under attack. Turn with me, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll read one verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 13. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. In truth, the word of God. We receive God's word, continuing on, which also effectively works in you who believe. A very profound verse. We receive God's word. It what teaches us how to live. Today, the Bible is under attack. Anyone who believes in it, anyone who believes God's word, anyone who believes God is under attack also. Our society around us has thrown out the Bible. And who would have thought that just 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or 20 years ago? Christians are not accepted as normal anymore. Christians are rejected. They're scoffed at. We might think back at the time of Noah as he was following God's instructions to build the ark and was scoffed at. Today, Christians are scoffed at. There's a simmering hostility towards God. And there's a simmering hostility and an open hostility against biblical morality. We see that every day. Having believing faith comes from developing a personal relationship with God. God will help people that diligently seek him. So what is the Bible? What is its purpose? The Bible reveals the purpose for which humans have been created. It reveals the wisdom of God himself. It's accurate and cannot fail. It reveals eternal truths. It reveals prophetic events soon to happen. It reveals the way of happiness. The Bible is God's handbook for humankind. God alone can tell the future and does and brings it to pass. It stands as proof of the divine origin of the Bible. And it's reassuring to know that God's words are and will be preserved through the ages. They're preserved for us. God speaks to us through his word. 1 Peter 1 and verse 24 states the word of God endures forever. So I'd like to finish up with a story of a second Bible. Once again, in my former occupation, I had gotten a call one evening from someone, and this time I recognized the name, but I didn't know the person, and he was a professional baseball player, a Hall of Fame professional baseball player. And so he wanted some things done to his home, and so I showed up at his house. I should call it a house, a mansion. And as I walked up to the front door, rung the doorbell, he came and invited me in. And here was this huge foyer with the staircase that wrapped around both sides going up. But right in the center, as you walked into the door, was this pedestal with a Bible on it. And it was right there. As you walked in the door, you had to see this Bible. And what was he saying? The Bible was central in his life. This big white Bible laid out there. You couldn't go anywhere in his house without seeing that Bible. So anyone that came to his home recognized that Bible, and he led his life the best he could to follow that Bible. Simply in contrast, we see a Bible thrown out in the garbage. Then we see one that is central in someone's life. How about us? Is it in the center of our lives? Do we cling to the words of the Bible? Do we cherish them? Are they positive in our lives, a positive influence? Do they point us to Christ? What are we passionate about? So as we finish up here today, let's think about this. When God's word speaks, we should listen. The Bible doesn't contradict true knowledge. And not only does the Bible contain true knowledge, it contains spiritual truth that can only come from God, speaking through his word.